Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Tuesday, November 28th. My name is Magnus Tiefeld. I'm your host for this morning, and we have some interesting stuff lined up for you. We have part two of our interview about democratic teaching and learning with Dr. Joanna Ashworth. We have a very interesting audio clip. The only extant recording of Virginia Woolf. It is a little segment from a radio interview from way back in the 1930s, I believe it was taken, 1937, part of a series of interviews she did around that time as part of a program on the BBC. And this is a segment and part of the only although there are several segments, there's only one extant recording and the only one of her voice. We also have an interesting documentary about attachment theory and some great music. So let's get on with the show. Yesterday, if you were tuned in, you will have caught part one of our interview with Joanna Ashworth about democratic teaching and learning. Something they're trying to promote here at SFU, and about a study looking at how instructors at SFU incorporate that into their classroom teaching. Now, if you listened yesterday, we're going to repeat the first part of the interview where Dr. Ashworth talks a bit about the study and her research and the work they're doing. This provides a nice sort of context for the other part of the interview. So if you were listening yesterday, it may start off the same, but it will end up with a transition into part two of the interview. But for those of you who weren't listening yesterday and are listening today, that first bit just provides some I think valuable context for the rest of the interview. So this is Dr. Joanna Ashworth speaking on democratic teaching and learning. Welcome to Dr. Joanna Ashworth. You are a research associate with the Community Engaged Research Initiative at Simon Fraser University, and you've been doing research into democracy in the classroom. Perhaps you can introduce yourself first, and then we'll talk a bit more about your research.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. So as you say, I'm a research associate with CERI, Community Engaged Research Initiative, which is a really interesting unit within the university that looks at and partners with communities around issues of concern for those communities, brings kind of a matchmaking of researchers from the university to communities around specific issues. And I've been there for a few years working on various projects, but the reason why I landed there is because I've been working for many years on this project called Participedia.net, which is a global study of a SHRC-funded global study of innovations in participatory democracy. And so it's documenting the kinds of things that are really trying to create a more participatory, more deliberative, more actively engaged democratic system in various parts of the world in many contexts. And it's just looking at what works, why, and where. And so through that work and through the kind of research that I have been oriented towards, which has always been community driven, I was invited to come to CERI and do some projects there. So the research on democratic teaching and learning really came out of my Participedia work. And I was invited by the VP of research at the time, who was Joy Johnson, to do, to conduct this study, which was looking at the practice of democratic teaching and learning at Simon Fraser University. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's lots of great examples at SFU where teaching and learning is very innovative, like the semester in dialogue, the city studio project, the labs that the health labs that have been done in Surrey with Paola Ardiles. And there's so many people that are kind of well known for doing really innovative work that engages communities, that looks at issues that of their concern, which I really see as kind of the heart of democratic teaching and learning, is looking at where we can have agency and looking at where we can make a difference in terms of what's happening in a particular setting, in a particular context or policy arena. So this study really was meant to be a kind of a phenomenology of who's doing work kind of in the privacy of their classrooms, not necessarily mm-hmm. in these high profile programs, but, you know, behind the doors of the classroom, what's happening? What are these instructors, whether they're full professors or sessionals, what are they doing that's innovative in terms of bringing a more democratic approach to the pedagogies that they are working with? So that was really the beginning of the study. And I worked with a number of colleagues, including Brenda Morrison, Am Johal, Paola Ardiles, Tara Mahoney, and together we kind of designed the research. And mm-hmm. We found 12 people within the university that are kind of known or who have made themselves known because of the work that they're doing, and not necessarily really well known outside of their discipline, let's say. And we spent a lot of time talking to them through these semi-structured interviews and gathered those transcripts and did a survey of SFU-wide survey, anyone that was teaching, of PhD students to full professors. We didn't get a huge response. We got 31 respondents and who completed the full survey. And so from that, we ascertained some, you know, some premises that we've been building on. So we did our research. We created a report, and then part of our commitment to the VP of research was to have a symposium. Of course, this was right mm-hmm. in the middle of COVID. So,
of course,
most of our plans went sideways, but we held a symposium online, and we took some of these ideas. And one of the strong ideas that came out of the research was that the classroom should be boundless, you know, mm-hmm. that a democratic classroom is really a boundless classroom.
Yeah. Testing 1, 2, 3. And now we pick up the interview from where we left off yesterday. Over the course of, I think any student over the course of their, you know, doing their undergrad or graduate studies has sort of encountered that situation where they're not sure whether they should be challenging the professor or they should just be repeating back to what they know the professor wants to hear. So how did some of the people you talked to for this study, you know, how did they challenge that? Because it's probably often not easy for a professor to see that from their side of it.
That's a really good question. And I think I remember one of the interviews, what the professor said was, I'm very transparent with my thought process. I share with the students what it takes to, bring a speaker in, you know, how I've negotiated that. You know, I just don't, present the speaker and say, you know, as if it doesn't take work. So he's very transparent about how he has designed or come to decisions. And he's also really transparent about how he expects students to share their thinking. What is their mm-hmm. critique of the program? What is their critique of his work? And he kind of sets a kind of an ambiance in which that's okay. And I think, you know, where I see a lot of faculty doing great work is that they kind of set the conditions for their classroom by helping students co-create what are the rules of engagement in this classroom. You know, it's very rare, and I taught classes in dialogue for many years, and the first thing that we would do, and these were fourth year communication students, is let's talk about how we're going to learn together, how we're going to do this, and, you know, what's going to make this work for you. And so they get a chance to kind of share the rules of engagement and co-create them, and then we can use them as a guide. Are we actually listening to each other? Are we allowing different points of view to surface here? Are we kind of shutting that down? Are we, you know, are more people getting airtime than others? You know, whatever they've agreed to, you know, we kind of hold each other accountable. But for many, that was like the first time that they were invited to do that, and to even invited to learn about each other and their experiences and their, you know, the things that they were bringing into the class. You know, they're fourth year students. They've got a lot of life experience, but often that's not considered. And so I think the professors that we talk to recognize that experience is important and it's part of the teaching and learning experience.
And it seems like this would be really important, I think for everybody, but, you know, particularly for students who are considering continuing on to more advanced degrees where, you know, by the time you're at the master's and the PhD level, you know, that kind of challenging of things is going to be very much expected of you and probably very much a key to your success in those frames.
Mm. Yeah, so this is good. It's a good grounding. And yes, we did talk to all the faculty that we talked to. They teach both undergrad and grad, and they don't seem to differentiate. Like, that's what's really unique about them, the way in which they kind of set up their classrooms and the way that they think about the how of their teaching versus the what. You know, they try to encourage that kind of critical, participatory, dialogic, you know, negotiation, orientation in their students, which I think are all fundamental to what we think of as a more engaged, more deliberative, participatory democracy, you know, where power, and sometimes you do have to fight for power. And, you know, sometimes you do, you know, students are invited to critique the professor. That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, nobody really wants to do that in everyday life. So finding a way to do it respectfully and to actually own it, to give good reasons, you know, not just have an opinion, but to give good reasons for your arguments, for your viewpoint. I think that is all part of it. But the other side of that is relationships and caring for the students. And I think more and more instructors are recognizing how stressed students are, and they're coming, it's very, you know, with a lot of other challenges that are, you know, very much part of their learning experience. And you know, they've got jobs, they've got, you know, financial issues, housing issues. So caring about the students as people and as humans, and recognizing, I think, which is in sort of the true democratic sense, recognizing each other as equals, equal of, you know, needing support and care, but also recognizing the importance of critique and argument and dialogue, all of those things, and creating that kind of space for lively kinds of learning experiences.
Right. Yeah. So at the top, you mentioned how, you know, in many respects, democracy seems very much under threat today. And I think we can all see that just looking around at you know, the state of debate and politics and you know, information sharing and journalism. How do we take these ideas and what is the intended outcome or impact of having these in the classroom and spreading that out into the world? Because I think we all understand that, you know, the education system, both at the secondary level or post-secondary level and for elementary and at all levels, is really one of the main bulwarks of a democratic system.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, you can just see in the states, in the more, you know, the Republican states are really paying attention to education because they recognize that, you know, how students are educated is going to impact the kind of citizens that they become. So they're shutting down and, you know, banning books and doing all sorts of things that we, you know, it's shocking to see. So I think on the flip side, obviously we know what's happening in classrooms. It does make a difference. So what we are hearing is, you know, students are learning through the kinds of assignments that they're getting or that they're co-creating with their other students or with their instructors, that these kinds of assignments actually are meaningful, and that they can see that they can actually change the circumstances of people's lives by doing research, by co-examining issues together. So they I think they recognize that, you know, what they do matters. And I think more and more, I think that's the kind of education we need to be paying attention to, and that universities need to be fostering in as many ways as possible. And I think SFU does a pretty good job in some cases, but I just think not all of the respondents to the survey, for example, thought that this was anything to do, you know, that just should be anything that we should be thinking about. This is like, let's just stick to our discipline and let us have our autonomy, and, you know, just leave things as they are. And I think we're noticing that students are just not as engaged as they could be. I think they've got a lot of distractions. They've got their phones. They've got, you know, they can do anything. They've got AI, you know, which is helping them think through a lot of complex issues and not necessarily doing the hard work of figuring things out the way that I think really sticks. So I think we've got to do things differently. And yeah, we've got to find ways to say, you know, this classroom and these assignments actually should make a difference. And that, but then that comes back to, okay, what are the things that make that difficult for instructors? Right. And I think there's some really, you know, fundamental material reasons why it doesn't happen. You know, classroom size, funding to support extra speakers or field trips and that kind of thing. But I think on the positive side, I think there's a lot that can be done through an orientation and through colleagues talking to each other and sharing their experiences. And I think that's what our study is, you know, aiming to do. I think it came out during the pandemic and we haven't had the traction, but, you know, since the symposium, just releasing the report on the symposium, which took these ideas and especially I think the big idea was this idea of the boundless classroom, that outside of the walls of our institutions, we need to really find ways for students to engage and to learn, you know, make what they do matter. No throwaway assignments, you know, no single use assignments.
The report is actually pretty accessible. I've had a chance to look at it myself. It's you know, it I think for folks who are interested in learning more about this, it's pretty accessible to a lay reader. Can you tell us a bit more how they might be able to find it?
Yeah, it's actually, I was doing this research and I still do work with the Faculty of Environment, but it is, if you Google democratic teaching and learning at Simon Fraser University, you'll land on the page where the report is located. And I think what I found is that the faculty had so many specific suggestions about how to do this work. You know, I think I mentioned earlier about, you know, moving the furniture around. But it's also about just thinking a little bit differently about sharing the control, the rules, the process, and the content of what your course is. Encouraging more dialogue, more community building, like seeing that as important, and as a way for students to learn in a much more collaborative way. Linking course content to the real world. I mean, we're all real and we come into classrooms with all our concerns and issues. Like that in itself is a great place to begin. Changing the furniture, but like engaging resource people, bringing people from the community into the classroom, going out and visiting different sites. You know, all that takes resources and planning, but I think the teachers that are successful at that have done that over time. And it, you know, it does take time. And some, you know, some had said we would appreciate having more, you know, staff support that kind of work, that our faculties encourage it. They recognize the value of it and they know that it's more time consuming, but the impacts are significant. So
are you able to, you know, have you been able to get the ear and have some influence on, you know, both the way that university level educators are trained to work in the classroom, but also through, you know, SFU has as a education program and is, you know, one of the leaders in preparing teachers for the elementary and secondary systems. Do you see this, you know, this research and having influence there?
Well, I think if you think about democracy as sort of a broad array of, you know, capacities and virtues, and I think one of them is around justice. Yeah. And I've seen, and we collaborated with the Center for Restorative Justice, Brenda Morrison and others out in the community that do restorative justice in classrooms, and it's mostly K to 12 classrooms. Mm-hmm. I see that as a really powerful means in which teachers are becoming trained to do that work, to help students with conflicts, to work through conflict in really, really constructive ways. But there's, you know, there's so much more that could be done.
Right.
So we haven't really tackled, you know, K to 12. What we started with was, you know, what can we do in higher education? What is right. our responsibility? Where are we making some really innovative progress? And what else could we be thinking about? And I think that the Center for Excellence in Teaching, I might have gotten that wrong because the name of that unit that supports teaching and learning at yeah. the university is paying attention to a lot of the related issues,
yeah.
particularly equity, diversity, and inclusion, mm-hmm. which obviously are huge parts of when we think about democracy and democratic systems. Yeah. We have to think about inclusion and yeah. diversity, and I think that is one of our big challenges. And when we think about diversity in the classroom, we have to think about faculty, you know, how diverse is our faculty?
Yeah.
Does it represent the diversity of our student body? So those are all questions I think that the university at the highest levels is looking at and paying attention to, is quite aware of. And that does affect your ability, you know, teaching and learning at the level of the classroom.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Are you planning further research and initiatives in this area?
Right now, we are just wrapping up this SHRC-funded work that we did with the symposium.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot more to do. I think one of the key ways is by bringing faculty together across the country through all our networks, like Participedia, through CIRI, through Restorative Justice networks, to figure out ways that we can, you know, foster a culture of democratic teaching and learning. And,
right.
you know, there's a lot going on. And I think making those conversations more inclusive and not just the people that are already, you know, on board, but yeah. those faculty that maybe don't really think that's relevant to them, but, you know, maybe if they got a little bit involved, they might find it useful and not something that's critiquing their work, but could really expand
right.
The impact that they're having. So.
Great. Well, so much, thank you so much for speaking to me today. I think this is a really interesting topic, and it'll be interesting to see where things go with it in the future. Obviously, you know, the whole issue of democracy in our society is pretty important these days, and this is sounds like it's, you know, finding ways to support that.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, thanks very much for your interest. I hope people read the report, and I hope there's some really specific ideas that they can run with, but also to, you know, share what they know and what they do with other, I think is a really good way to move this forward.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
And thank you to Dr. Joanna Ashworth for speaking with me on this issue. She is a research associate with the Center for Engaged Research Initiatives here at SFU and active in a number of different areas at the university. They've been doing, she talked a bit about in the interview, symposiums with educators and students here at SFU to sort of spread the word about this research and some of the ideas that are brought forth. The study that we've been talking about, Democratic Teaching and Learning, a study of practice at Simon Fraser University, is a pretty accessible report. And if you're interested in learning more about the subject, you can find that report online on the SFU website just by Googling Democratic Teaching and Learning SFU, and you should be able to find it pretty easily. So thanks to Dr. Joanna Ashworth for that really interesting interview. If you're interested in hearing part one, it is available on our website at www.cgsf.ca, and this program and this interview will be posted up on our website later today. All right, you're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM. This is a Speak Up. I am your host, Magnus Tevold. Next up is something from Canadian singer-songwriter Hannah Georges. She has a new album came out this summer, which is called I'd Be Lying If I Said I Didn't Care. And this is the lead-off single from that album, our lead-off track, and it is called Scratch.
Start from scratch. How do I do that? How do I make sense of everything I thought I had and was and lost? And I've been looking for I thought I was, and I've been looking for. Everything I thought I had.
Hannah Georges, and Scratch from her album, I'd Be Lying If I Said I Didn't Care. Our next segment is a clip of